If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One of the common thoughts from a lot of more pessimistic Chicago Bulls fans is that nothing has changed about this team over the last few years. On today's episode, I'm actually going to talk about the list of changes that have happened for the Bulls' direction in just the past 2 years, and if this is going to lead the Chicago Bulls to a much better path. But we're also going to talk about the pending free agents and why it's important that the Bulls really do use this season as an evaluation season. We're going to talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I want to start talking about this, right? Like, and the performance of Trae Young has really kind of put me in the space of thinking about this with this team, right? Trae Young was one of the players that we acquired in the trade with Zach LaVine last year. And Trae Jones has now turned into a player that a lot of Bulls fans are talking about. They're excited to see. And they've seen now the way that his energy comes into games in just the preseason and really changed the tide. And he did that last year before he went down with injury as well. And the Bulls decided to bring him back. They moved off Lonzo Ball to create that roster spot to be able to bring Trae Jones back. And through what we've seen in preseason so far, through the performance, the effort he's given on both sides of the ball, it looks like that's going to trend in the right direction for the Bulls. Now, we got to see. It's preseason basketball. And like I say about everything with preseason, take it with a grain of salt until we see in the regular season. But the thing that we can take away from it is that that's what Trae Jones' role is probably going to be. That's what he's going to be asked to do. Can he keep it up for the entirety of the year? I think that he can, but let's wait and see that if he can do it, right? But with that said, that puts me in the mindset of the pending free agents that the Bulls have. For those that don't know, Nikola Vucevic, Zach Collins, Kevin Huerter, Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, Javon Carter, Dalen Terry technically as a restricted free agent, they're all up for new contracts at the end of the year, right? And I want to look at two of the key veterans that in that, right? And that's Zach Collins and Kevin Huerter. Now, in my mindset, that the Bulls have to make a tough decision and they have to make it by the trade deadline. Do they feel like Kevin Huerter and Zach Collins are two players that they can keep on this roster, that they should keep on this roster, that fits the direction that they're trying to go and the vision that they have for this roster? Because cost-effective veteran contracts are really something that really, it could take your team over the top. Now, right now, Zach Collins and Kevin Huerter are making basically both $18 million. Zach Collins is right at 18. Kevin Huerter is secondly at 17.9. That's $18 million. Now, they signed those contracts when they were both much younger. Zach Collins is going into his 28-year-old season. Kevin Herter's 27. He will be 28 by the time it's time to negotiate his next contract. And if the Bulls can get those guys at team-friendly contracts, in no way am I saying mid-level exception money. I think you're looking at both these guys probably signing between $10 and $12 million annually on the deal. And I think the Bulls really have to evaluate, A, can you keep them at that money? B, is the fit that they have there going to warrant keeping them here? And if it does, like, that's, again, especially Zach Collins and what he's bringing. Kevin Huerter, as a shooter, can be a little streaky. We'll see what he does this season. He's had some amazing shooting seasons. He had some seasons where you're like, hey, you're supposed to be a three-point shooter, right? So, again, evaluation in this year. But if you feel like at any point, either you don't want to spend the money to keep them, whether through your negotiations with them, because keep in mind, they can extend at any point in time. Do you feel like that warrants keeping them? And if not, you have to move off of them. One of the things that a lot of people have not acknowledged is that the Bulls were right to move on from Andre Drummond. The way that they moved on from Andre Drummond was the problem. If you go and look, Drummond only played 40 games last season, and he didn't look amazing in those four games. He didn't even look like what he looked like for the Bulls the season prior. So far in preseason, he looks – that decline that people keep predicting for Nikola Vucevic looks like, as of right now, it's already happened for Andre Drummond. And the Bulls didn't overpay to keep him. Now, the thing that the Bulls missed out on that situation is they had an opportunity to trade him for 2 second-round picks to Philly, the team he ultimately went and signed with anyway, and they didn't take advantage of that. You cannot afford to do that in this. The Bulls are going to have the cap flexibility to regardless, right? But if you have a chance to move on from veteran players that you do not see being a fit for your future, and you can get any assets back for them, and that's where AK really has missed the mark on, is being able to stack even second-round picks, right? It's like AK doesn't really understand that second-round picks can be a sweetener in a trade. Second-round picks can be combined to move up to somebody who fell in the draft, right? Like we saw happen with Rashear Fleming. There's a lot of things that can happen with second-round picks, and that's why I hope that AK has learned from that. We just saw that this past draft, right? The Bulls could have had, you know, Maximi Reynald, I believe is who, or was it Zakarski? I think it may have been Rocco Zakarski that was drafted with the Bulls' original pick. And instead, you traded back for cash. Now, you did get Lachlan Albrecht, and, you know, I've seen, you know, some summer league games and stuff where Lachlan looks good, but, you know, he doesn't have the projection that like a Zakarski does, right? So that's something that the Bulls have missed on, and I hope that with these veterans that they do. I get it that the Vooch trade and trying to get a, you know, even better asset is going to be there, but those little trades, moving veterans to stack some type of assets that you can then use to combine with something to move up later or whatever it is, that's what the Bulls really have to prioritize in this one. And in this season with how many expirings that they have, will they do it? That's the bigger question, right? And that's one that we don't have the answer to, but it is something that I hope that this team has learned from, and we'll see if they've had, right? Now, with me talking about something that I hope that the Bulls learn from, I already know, because I know you guys, I know Bulls fans, is that there are already people, some people typing, they haven't learned anything. And so that brings me to the next topic that I want to spin on before we get into the mailbag, and that is things have changed around this Bulls team. And despite what some of the content creators in this fan base will tell you, there have been a number of things that have changed. And I just want to look at what's changed over the last 2 years for this team, right? I want to look at that. Since the start of the 2023-24 season, which is only 2 years ago, right? A number of things have changed about the Bulls and how it impacts their direction, right? First thing that's changed is the age. At the start of the 2023-24 season, the Bulls had an average age of almost 29. That was the average age of the team. And looking at this season, right, at the start of the 2025-26 season, the Bulls have an average age of slightly over 25. If you take away the oldest player on this team, Nikola Vucevic, and replace that with somebody even 3 years older than the majority of this core, let's say somebody 28, the average age of this team drops to almost 23, which would make them the youngest team in the NBA. Even if you, on that 2023-24 team, removed the oldest player off that team, guess what? The average age is still slightly over 27. So that right there has changed. The Bulls are doing similar things that they did with a much older roster, with a roster that is considerably younger. Let's go into flexibility and money. In the 2023-24 season, the Bulls had three contracts over $20 million. That was Zach, DeMar, and Lonzo Ball. One of those contracts, which we weren't getting any value at because he was on the sidelines. And Nikola Vucevic was right outside that, making slightly over $18 million. If you now look at it, right, let's go back to that. You had one player as well making over $40 million in DeMar DeRozan, in Zach LaVine, and then DeMar DeRozan making nearly $30 million between your highest four play players, Zach, DeMar, Zoe, and Nikola Vucevic. You were paying over $100 million in contracts, nearly, right? You look at now, flip that to now. The Bulls only have two players making over $20 million. That's Josh Giddey, and that's Nikola Vucevic, with Vooch being an expiring contract, and your future flexibility looking much better. Now, everything's not good either. Now, while the Bulls don't have a lot of contracts over $20 million, they do have an $18 million contract in Patrick Williams, which, you know, we don't know the value we're going to get out of that. Projectedly, if we're basing off history, doesn't look pretty good, right? But outside of that, the Bulls do. And even if you're going to players over $18 million, the Bulls have three players making $18 million or more. That's Zach Collins, Patrick Williams, and Kevin Huerter. Only one of those is considered a bad contract, and that's Patrick Williams. And yeah, that's going to, I think even if Patrick Williams contributes off the bench, it's still going to be looked at as a bad contract. The Bulls have no long-term bad money on their books at all right now. And that flexibility has changed the outlook of the future. For example, right? When you look at the flexibility money-wise, one of the things that you benefit from, the Bulls in that version of the team could only add players at part of the mid-level exception. They couldn't even use the full mid-level exception and stay under the luxury tax. The Bulls right now, with a full 15-man roster and it being fully guaranteed, they still have $13 million beneath the first apron, Meaning, even with them hard capping themselves, if they do a trade, they can take back $13 million more dollars than what they send out in any trade and still be below the place, the hard cap, where Jerry Reinsdorf likes them to be at. Again, tremendous flexibility. Now, will they use it? That's a different question, right? Then when you look at the future money outlook for this team as well, the Bulls have $114 million beneath the cap next season that they can play with, beneath the tax, I should say, next season that they can play with. That is a considerable change for this team, right? Now, the question is how many of those, how much of that's going to be eaten up by retaining players already on this team? Kobe, Io, Herter, Zach Collins, I'm going to mention the ball-headed hoe, Javon Carter, and Dalen Terry, right? Like, are you keeping any of those guys? Nikola Vucevic, do you end up keeping that? How much are you eating into that $114 million to keep those players? And then how do you add to the team? But then there's more, right? If you get that reference, wait, there's more. If you get that reference, put it in the comment section down below. But then you look at draft capital. If you're going to be a team which is going to be right up against that luxury tax, you need to have the proper draft capital to add to that team. In the team that we had in 2023-24, let's just date back to after getting Nikola Vucevic, right? And I'm going to count P. Will in this. The Bulls had two first-round picks in almost 5 years. Now, the Bulls have had two first-round picks in just the last 2 years and own all their first-round picks going forward outright. Anybody who tells you nothing has changed about the direction of the team is just looking at the win total. And I would say this. If you get to the similar win total, based off, and your roster is nearly 4 years younger and your money is better, your flexibility to add to that team is then better. The problem was the Bulls were winning 39 games with a roster they were locked into and couldn't really improve on because of the money that was there. The difference now is the Bulls are operating coming off a 39-win season with tons of flexibility, tons of assets, right? Which, again, a $17 million trade exception that I didn't even mention in the flexibility part of this that they can use $13 million for to stay under the tax, right? You're looking at all those things. That's what this Bulls team is right now. And that's what they can do as far as the flexibility standpoint to add to the team. Now, it doesn't, just because they have the flexibility doesn't mean they're going to use it correctly. And that is something that we're going to have to watch and evaluate for sure about this team. But we got to stop acting like nothing has changed about this team's direction, because guess what? It has changed. And it's actually changed pretty considerably. At least that's my thought process. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. With that said, let's go ahead and get into these voicemails that we got for today. This first one that we got is from first-time caller, Jerry.
Hi, Hayes. This is Jerry from Southern Illinois. I'm a South Side transplant here. I wanted to talk about the Bulls' need for a 26-27 season. I'd like to see them sign Walter Kessler if they can give him $25-30 million or give him enough money where Utah doesn't want to match that money and we don't have to give up draft picks or anything to trade for him. I'm also wanting to, when the trade deadline comes up, I want to see him maybe trade Zach Collins and Kevin Herter to free up money to sign Walter Kessler. I would rather have an experienced center than trying to draft one with no experience. Or if they can find another good center on the market somewhere. I'd like to see him re-sign Vooch to a second string contract, maybe around the $10 million mark, if he'll accept it and he doesn't want to go try to win with another team. I'd like to see Vooch retire with the Bulls, to tell you the truth. It's not like the Bulls have a long line of great centers. You know, I'm going back to Artis Gilmore and Cartwright and Noah. And there's been a lot of disrespect to Vooch, and he's done his job. He plays hard, and he's always in the lineup. Very rarely does he miss any time. He's always pretty healthy. The Bulls need to re-sign Kobe and Io. And I'd like to see Dalen back also. Say Kobe give him 30 million a year. I owe about 18, 17, 18 in that area. Patrick Williams, don't have much to say about him. He's more of a, to me, a wild card right now. And then maybe with Collins and Herter trade, they can get some draft picks, extra draft picks back, or another player or something. Someone with not a big long contract, or in the draft, I'd like to see him draft another big man to put him.
All right. So first, I want to say on this, Jerry, is that a part of the, you called and left another voicemail because you ran into the 3-minute time limit. There is a 3-minute time limit. 3 minutes is pretty long time to get your thoughts off. I get it that you got a little bit upset by the time limit, but I mean, I can't, like, it's just for the mailbag, like, everybody can't ramble into perpetuity. So yes, the 3-minute time limit's there. It's created by the voicemail service. I didn't even create it, but I do support it because, like, we want to get the most voicemails in possible. So I know they said you wouldn't call again because of the limit. Hopefully you reevaluate that. But to get to your voicemail, outpricing the Jazz on Walker Kessler is something that I do think the Bulls should be open to doing. I know people, like, I've talked in the Discord and other things. By the way, I need to do a better job. Go to Chicago Bulls Central. I mean, the Chi-Town Sports Central Discord. It has all that. You have a room for the Bulls, the Bears, the White Sox, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the Sky. We're going to get fighting the Illini up in there as well. So join the Discord. The link's in the description. But outside of that, like, I do think that that when you look at Walker Kessler, A, he has an almost 30% rebound rate, which is ridiculous, right? An almost 20% block rate, which is ridiculous. He actually switched on to guards pretty well. I've seen a lot of people that are like, oh, well, Walker Kessler's a one-trick pony. I need you to go in and actually look. One of the problems with Walker is that he's a defensive-minded player who's really good defensively in all areas of defense, but he's been on a team that's been trying to tank literally almost since he got there, right? So it's hard to for him to have the impact that he's going to have on a team that's trying to win, and that's part of the reason I do agree. I would be willing to get all of that in if it comes to putting money on the table for Walker Kessler to get him here, because I think when you look at it, if you have a backcourt of Josh Giddey, you have a backcourt of Kobe White, having a rim protector like Walker Kessler completely transforms your team. And he's still a role player, and that's perfectly fine. But, you know, he's reportedly looking for $30 million. The Jazz are reportedly, opening, and they're thinking about reevaluating the trade offers that they have for him because, you know, the contract negotiations have just stopped. And so the Bulls could take advantage of that. Now, I agree with you. I don't think you should be trading a bunch of first-round picks for somebody that you can try to outbid on in the summer. And I think I'd rather give up money than give up picks. And that's just where I come from. I'd rather have to overpay a little bit than give up draft picks for the future. That's where I stand on that one. As far as trading Kevin Herter and Zach Collins to create the space there, they are both free agents at the end of the year, so you don't necessarily have to trade them to create that space. You do have their bird rights, which means you can go over the cap to retain them. So you'd have to kind of work out something with Walker Kessler first and then get that done. So that's just the thought process there. But I agree with you. I do think Walker Kessler should be one of the Bulls' top targets this upcoming offseason. That's just my thought process there. All right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from Big O.
What's going on, Hayes, brother? It's your boy, Big O, man. Long time I heard from you, man. Still watching the show, still listening, tapping in with you. Great job, as always. Hope all is well. I'm calling in about the Jonathan Kuminga. I know I'm a little behind. I know this is a topic you and Pat was talking about maybe a week or so ago. Well, really all summer, but I just want to say this because I know that you and Pat was saying that Jazz wasn't really on board with it because of his style of play. And because I definitely agree, I definitely understand that, I would say, with the way he plays. My only problem with that is that, you know, while the Bulls building themselves up to be a playoff team again, you still need, you know, they still need that guy, right? You know, I think they have a chance to be a top 8 seed this year due to the injuries in the East, but that still doesn't take away from you being a championship team, which is the ultimate goal. So my thing is, if you can get Jonathan Kuminga for, you know, not too much, if it ain't taking if it's not costing you any of your core guys, let's just say if it's Patrick Williams and maybe a protected first round, or Patrick Williams and, you know, maybe a bottom guy, you know, haven't heard of maybe one of those guys, I say you pull a trigger on something like that, even if you think that he doesn't fit. Reason being is that you need to figure out, you're still searching for that guy, right? And you're not bringing him in to fit in. Anyway, I'm bringing in to see if you as good as you think you are. Because if he is as good as he think you are, you know, now you add another piece to your puzzle, a big piece in that way. And in the case that he's not, in case he's just a scorer, just a guy that can score the ball, then he doesn't take away from your team. You're still a 40-plus win team, but then he fits seamlessly with the guys that you got already or not. He's not going to make you any worse, you know, because you're still going to be a 40-win team with or without Kuminga. But the hopes is that you bring in a guy that maybe blossom into something that you're looking for. I don't think you ever stop looking for your star player ever, even while you're building, because ultimately you need that guy to take you over the top. That's just my thoughts, brother. Look forward to keep hearing from you. Keep doing your thing. I'll let you soon.
Okay. I understand where you're coming from, Big O. I'm going to get into the details here. I want to be clear. I understand what you're saying as far as taking the shot. But I do think this. You say that there's not much risk. There is. Because you can hurt a year of development for Patrick Williams for a player that may not fit. Because it's not as simple as, oh, let's go see how if Kuminga is as good as he thinks he is. To do that, it means you have to give him shots. It means you have to commit to a certain play style that doesn't really fit the play style of this team. So that does hurt. When you're trying to develop players like Modis, who needs their own shots, and you're trying to grow his offensive game, his own ball duties, which the Bulls are trying to see, because he actually does want to be a facilitating power forward, you're taking away those opportunities from Modis and from Noah Essengay in a way as well. Now, Noah may not be ready this season, but you're possibly taking that away on top of taking away some capital that you have going into next season to add a player that does actually fit what you're trying to do here. Those are the risks of it. And that's the risk that I'm not willing to take, right? If it was as simple as if like Kuminga had a more complimentary game to the way that we play, I would definitely be willing to take a shot at it. And if it didn't work, it didn't work. But the way that Kuminga plays means that you are not only taking the ball some out of Kobe's hands, out of Josh Giddey's hands, out of Modis's hands, it also means that you're going back to the style that you try to get away from of heavy isolation ball. The Bulls just sent off two players in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine that are much better in isolation than Kuminga has ever been. Yeah, they're older players, but they did that to adapt a more team-friendly play style. So I got to fight back that I do think it does hurt this team to do that. It's not just as simple as just you throw a player in and let's see how good you are. To see how good they are, you have to commit to a certain style of play. And that then hurts the development of the players that you have or that you know as of right now are players that you have that are going forward into your future. Even if you want to say, we don't know if Kobe's going to be with the future, Giddey, Modis, Noah. It hurts those players' futures and their development by having a player like that. That's my thought process. So, I like I said, I see where you're coming from, Big O, but I just have some questions there. All right, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from AI Kid.
Yo, what up, Hayes? That boy, Central. It's AI Kid. I was reaching out because we had a first game. I wanted to get y'all thoughts on Noah and if he really needs to be in the G League or not. I think going through the Bulls' notion, they probably put him there, but it might just be safer that it might be best that he don't go to the G League, because I think his defense is okay. It's enough to be, it's good enough to come off the bench, I'm not going to lie. And he up in his development stage, so I don't see no point in him going to the G League, but I see the same in P-Will. I see the same turnover. Same turnover he was getting last year, he did it again the first game, but I hope for the best. Also, Terry, I don't know about Terry. It's just like, I know Terry got good in him, and with the way he's coming into the game seems more intentional, but I just feel like he plays better when he's free. And it's like, this being a contract year for him, he's more intentional. I don't know if he just plays better when he's free. And this being his contract year isn't helping. But I hope he can come into his own. But My prediction, my hot takes, Noah's going to boss into KD. Monty's going to boss up into Giannis with a step back three. You know how it goes. Go Bulls.
Does Noah Essanay need to go to the G League? It depends on how you view need, right? And the reason why I say that is this. Noah Essanay has played professionally since he was, 17, 16 years old. But I think when you – defining need comes down to, do you think that a player gets more experience by getting reps, or do you think they'll get more experience by having minimal reps but at the NBA level? And that's what the Bulls have to ask themselves. Would Noah Essanay, as young and as raw as he is, would he benefit from going down to the G League and basically getting to do whatever you want, getting to do more isolation, getting to have more things go through him, getting to be on ball more? Would he benefit from the added reps in the G League, or would he benefit from less reps but playing NBA competition for 5, 8, maybe 10 minutes at the NBA level? That's what you have to benefit from. And if you know he's not going to be in your rotation, I still think that he benefits more from playing in the G League than sitting on the back end of Billy Donovan's bench not playing at all. So I do think this preseason is about him showing that he deserves minutes at the NBA level. And if he gets that, great, right? But I think that's what you're looking at there. And that's the question that you have to ask yourself. And again, I'm not in the building. I don't know that for sure. The coaching staff would know that. And we got to hope that they're going to do it right. But I do think seeing how they did Modest last season, that's going to kind of be Billy Donovan's blueprint for developing young talent going forward. And we shall see what happens there. As far as your comps, bro, let's start with the crazy comps. Modest, Giannis, and Noah, KD. Come on, bro. We're way too early to start with those type of comps, bro. But all right. Thank you for leaving a voicemail, bro. You know I love you, man. I appreciate you. Let's go ahead and get into the next voicemail, man. This one is from Vikram.
What's up, Ace? It's Vikram. So I just want to talk about three quick things. First, Trey Jones is amazing. Like, genuinely, every time in this preseason, every time Josh Giddey's gone out in the beginning, Trey Jones has picked up the offense and honestly just looks methodical, quick decision-making skills. He has that. And he's just really effective and quick and, like, I don't even know, sneaky. Sneaky is a good word. And, man, he's good at it. I wasn't as high as, like, all you guys were on Trey Jones, but I see where y'all are coming from. And then with Coby White, it looks like we desperately need him in that beginning parts of the game. I know in the beginning we're like, it's preseason, we're trying shit. I get that. But Coby White, I think he needs to respond to in the regular season when we start games. He needs to be the one in control because there's so much pressure on Josh Giddey to create something. And we just don't have any other real half-court creators. And Coby White, that could be where he's really strong this year. That could be the big jump he makes, is controlling the half-court offense. And like you said, he's the number one scoring option this year. And I think that's going to really, really be a decisive, like, deciding factor on how good of a season we have, how well Coby White can control the offense. If he can't, I can realistically see us going, like, winning, like, 30 games, 28 to 30 games. But if he does, I can see us winning an extra 10, 15 games. And really that makes a huge difference. And finally, I just want to talk about Modest in game two. I noticed that Billy Donovan didn't really drop any plays for him. And I think that's good that he still dropped, like, 11 points. He still was found ways to be effective. And I think that's really good. But more on the defensive end, he really does look like a way better defender this year than he did last year. There are players that go, when they go at him, they look a lot more, like, cautious, if you know what I mean. Like, they're not like, treating him like he's not a good defender. You know, do you see what I'm trying to say? Like, I remember this one possession, Craig Porter Jr. was trying to go at Modest, and he was genuinely, like, just because of Modest's contest, Craig Porter Jr. had to completely alter the way he took it to the rim and he shot it, and it resulted in, like, a missed open wide, like a missed wide open layup. So, yeah, let me know what you think.
All right, Vic. So here's what I'll say, Vikram, is that, yeah, Trey Jones is having a great impact for the Chicago Bulls team. There's no doubt about that. The impact that Trey Jones could have on this team could be astronomical. It could be absolutely huge. And you love to see that from the players that you have, or you, and he's on a very cost-effective contract. You just love to see that. That's what you want to see from a team when you get into stuff like that is you want to see the ability to continue to develop those pieces, right? And that's what Trey Jones is bringing. He's keeping up the play style that you have, those type of things. The impact that Trey Jones could have on the team could be absolutely huge. There's no doubts about that at all, right? And so I love Trey, and I'm glad that he's here. I think that he's going to make a huge impact for this team. You just got to lock into him being healthy for one, and then allowing him to do the point guard things and have players play off him. And as long as that happens, Trey Jones is going to have a big impact here. As far as Montez Bouzelis, I'll say, yeah, he does look like a better defender. And that's what you want when you're coming into your second year. Things slow down for you a little bit. He added, strength to his core without losing the agility and the athleticism. That's going to help him on the defensive side of the ball. He does already look like he's made a considerable step on the defensive side of the ball. And I want to see that continue for him. A Montez Bouzelis that, is more refined offensively and makes a step defensively, that's going to be a player that impacts your team. Like, I don't know if some of the higher kind of, projections that some people have for him of, oh, I want to see him get 16, 17 points per game. I don't know if that's going to be there, but he can have a bigger impact by being more of a two-way player. And I do think that we're seeing that from him. I absolutely think that we're seeing him become a better two-way player. And now we got to see how that's going to play off into next year. But all right, let's get into the next voicemail, the last one that we have for today. This one's from Rick.
Hayes, how you doing? This is Rick from Payless Hills. I'd like to make some observations for you based upon watching the two games. And I'm so glad to be able to do that because I had Comcast Xfinity and didn't have the option. But I did pay for the subscription. I am going to watch every game, every minute of every game. And here's my top two observations after just watching the first two games. Number one, of course, I didn't watch any games last year except the highlights. Number one, I'm very impressed with Collins, and I'm worrying a little bit less about the center position. I think he's a very good backup. The other thing is this, and I really want you to comment on this. If I could put my finger on what the Bulls don't have in these first two games, is they don't have a go-to scorer, a guy that they can have in the lineup for sure because they're in a little bit of a scoring slump. Now, in the past, that's been Kobe at times. Bouzelis, you'd say he was after the first game, but not after both games. That's just my point. He was 19 in the first game, looked strong. He was 11 in the second game, not as much. So I've really got my high hopes for Kobe to be able to come in and do that. And to just keep giving us that full effort on defense, even though the end result is just not even average. If he can give us full effort on defense and move up to the average spot, I think we're going to be over that 33-win projection.
All right, Rhett. Here's what I'll say to what you're saying here is that it's – they were missing Kobe White, and that's clear, right? It's clear that they're missing Kobe White, his creation, what he does in pushing the break, what he does in fast breaks, what he does in creating off drives, all that type of stuff. They are drastically missing that from Kobe White. And they're missing that go-to scoring option. And the hope is that with Kobe White, going into a contract year, coming into a season where he's finally going to be the guy that has, he's going to be the number one scorer. His role has not changed, that you can see Kobe White refine some things and take a bit of a step because he's just coming into a different role. And if he does, great. And you want to reward that in the contract that he has coming up. Kobe White is the engine of this offense. Him and Josh Giddey are the engine of what the Bulls offense and starting lineup is going to be. And we haven't gotten to see that yet in preseason. The hope is that we're going to see it in the last preseason game. And I think once we do, we'll be perfectly fine there. So, I think this offense is not the thing that I'm worried about. If what we've seen from the Bulls as far as a step up in defensive intensity is real, this is going to be a pretty damn good Bulls team this season. So that's my thought process, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773 773- 270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See Red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.